Today's passage is Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 to the last verse, which is on page 41 of our church Bible. Genesis chapter 37. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah, the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he was born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of corn out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf arose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now his brothers had gone to graze his father's flocks near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he said to him, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing the flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we will see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brother agreed. So when Midianites merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered the goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took ornate robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. This is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. So Johnny just comes to share the first in our series on Joseph from the reading we've just had from Josh. Let's just pray for him and for us as we listen. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active. We thank you that it contains truth that is older than the ages. And as Johnny brings it to us now, I pray you'll just bless him and anoint him with your spirit, and that you will give us ears to listen and hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Simon. Good morning to you all. So we're starting a new series on the life of Joseph. Small group notes are there for those who need them. And out of all the characters there are in the Bible, Joseph is one of the most well-known. And you know, I think Andrew Lloyd Webber has got a lot to answer for that. Who's ever seen Joseph in his Technicolor dream coat? Put your hands up. Sorry. So you've seen it many times. Many times. Put your hand up again. Just let me see. I just want to see how many people have seen it. Okay. Do you know, it stopped running now, I think, isn't it? But it ran for many, many years, and millions of people around the world would have seen or would have heard the biblical story of Jacob and his sons. Feel a song coming on. They would have literally sung their way through a biblical story of Joseph. I had a dream. You know, seriously, they would have sung all the way through that incredible story. And it's a significant story. It's a significant story for a number of reasons. One, because in it, you see a lot of Jesus. In it, there are lots of parallels between Joseph and Jesus. But also, within it, I think that as we look at it over the next few weeks, that we're going to see that there's a lot of us in there as well. There's a lot of us in some of the characters, and there's even possibly a lot of us in Joseph. You see, God gave Joseph a dream. He gave him a dream. But before that dream could be fulfilled, he had to do a number of things in his life. He had to take him on a journey. And it was at times a painful journey. It was a difficult journey, but it was a journey that was necessary in order for that dream to be fulfilled, in order for that dream to become his destiny. And I believe today that God has put dreams within each of us. And it may be that some of us know those dreams already. We know what they are. We're walking in them, where we can articulate them. We know exactly where we're going and what we're doing. For other of us, I believe that God has put dreams in us, and we maybe they're just beginning to grow, but we don't quite understand them. But maybe we are here and we don't even think that God's given us a dream. But I believe God wants to give us a dream, but we may have to go on a journey to see it fulfilled. So it's a significant and important time that we're going to have as we look through this life of Joseph. This morning's title, we've called it Favored Son and Hated Brother. And we've just read the passage, or Josh has just read the passage for us. And in verse 3, we read this. Now Israel, that's Jacob, God changed Jacob's name to Israel. It says, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. Now, at the start of the year, you may remember we did a series looking at the life of Jacob. And one of the things that really blessed me at the start doing that series was the fact that Jacob's family was so messed up. They were so dysfunctional. And that kind of made me feel a lot better about my own family. And I thought, actually, maybe it's not quite as bad as I thought it was. And one of the things that you would have thought that Jacob would have learned about his family situation growing up was that favoritism is not a good thing. Because favoritism was one of the main issues in his families that caused a lot of strife and caused a lot of division. When we saw his father favored his other older brother, Esau, Isaac, he favored Esau. And his mother, Rebekah, favored him. To such an extent that there was this real division, and eventually Jacob has to run for his life because his brother is going to kill him for trying to steal his, or he did steal his birthright, his inheritance. So there's all this division, and the one thing you would think of more than anything is that when Jacob has his own family, he's going to say to himself, there is no way I'm going to let favorites happen in my family. It's just not going to happen. I know the problem with this, and I'm not going to allow this to happen. But we read here that Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. But before we really slag him off, it's really important that we understand the context of this. Why was Joseph his favorite son? Why did he love him more than others? One of the reasons is this, that Joseph was actually the firstborn of the love of his life, Rachel. You may remember the story that actually Rachel wasn't the first woman that Jacob married, because Jacob married Rachel's sister, Leah, first. He didn't want to marry her, but he was tricked into marrying her. It's a crazy story, and you may remember it. It's absolutely crazy. But he ends up marrying the wrong sister, and he has several children with her. And then several years later, he's allowed to marry Rachel, the love of his life, the one that he really wants to marry. He then marries her, and when he marries her, they find out that they can't have children, or it's a struggle. And they go many years without any children. So Rachel gives one of the concubines to him, and they have many children through. There's all these different children, but none with Rachel. And then when he's getting older, suddenly God gives them a gift of Joseph with Rachel. And then not long after, Benjamin comes along. But sadly, Benjamin, his mother dies in the middle of giving birth. So you can see that actually this is a special relationship that he has with Joseph, because there's that bond. But secondly, if you look back in chapter 34, there's a whole story with Dinah and the Shechemites. Well, Dinah is one of Jacob's daughters. And Dinah is a lovely young lady, but Shechem of the Shechemites, sounds like a 60s pop group, doesn't it? Shechem of the Shechemites, he takes advantage of her, and he rapes her. It's a bad story, but then suddenly he decides that he really loves her and he wants to marry her. So he goes with his father to see Jacob and to see the brothers and to say, look, I want to marry your daughter. But when the brothers find out exactly what's happened, they are really angry. And they decide that actually there's no way that's going to happen. But they come up with this cunning plan. And they say to Shechem, they say, and to their whole clan, they said, look, there's only, you can marry our sister on one condition. That you and all the rest of the men in your clan, you all get circumcised. You all have your foreskins cut off. That is the only way that we will allow you to marry our sister, our daughter. And they think that's a good idea, so they agree. And they all have that done. But a couple of days later, Simeon and Levi come. And while they're still recovering, they attack the men when they can't defend themselves. And they slaughter the whole family. It's a really messy story. They take revenge. And they wipe out the whole of the Shechemites. And this is what Jacob says to Levi and to Simeon. He said, you have brought trouble on me by making me a stench to the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the people living in this land. We are few in number, and if they join forces against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed. He says, look, you've caused massive issues for us here. You know, you've done something awful, something terrible, and now all the other surrounding nations are going to be nervous. They're going to be worried. And if they join together and attack us, they're going to defeat us. But the boys replied, should he have treated our sister like a prostitute? And the answer, of course, was no. But what they did was incredibly reckless. So there's all those issues. And then when you get to the very next chapter, chapter 35, you read the story of when Rachel dies giving birth to Benjamin. And of course, Jacob he's mortified, he's gutted, and he goes on a journey. And while he's away, Reuben, his firstborn, the first son born to him, he goes in and sleeps with his father's concubine, with his father's mistress, and brings huge shame on the family. You know, the whole dysfunctional thing is just carrying through here. It's incredible. And into the mix, and there's other stuff as well. There's so much other stuff. And there's all this tension between Jacob and his sons. And all this, and it's just so messy. And in the midst of this, suddenly Joseph comes along. So you can see why he has this kind of sense where, you know, he is my favorite boy. And as parents, I'm sure they're, you know, I don't know, but as parents, maybe you've experienced that sometimes. Maybe there is one of your children that you tend to connect with better than the other. Now, you know that you know that you know that it's not good to have favorites, and it's not good for that to happen. And that it doesn't actually mean that you love one more than the other, but what it means is that actually you connect better with the other. Maybe that's so. But Jacob goes over the line. He goes over the line and makes his affection and his love for Joseph so obvious by making him this coat, this special coat that he doesn't make for any of the other ones of his sons. He is the only one. Can you imagine how the others felt? Joseph gets this really special coat, and it's really expensive. It's the real stuff. It's significant. It's significant in terms of even culture. You know, when a leader of a tribe was passing on succession, leadership to another person, often they would put their coat, they would put their cloak over the next person and say, this is my man, this is the person. So the other brothers were watching this, and they saw this. Says, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had born to him in his old age and he was made him a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw this, that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. So Joseph grew up in this environment where he was loved and he was hated. But it gets worse. In verse 5, we see Joseph had a dream. And he says to his brothers, he says, listen to this dream. We were binding sheaves of corn in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Now Joseph goes from being hated to really hated. He's already the favored son. He's already got this nice robe, which none of the others have got, when suddenly he has this dream. And maybe it's because he's boastful. Maybe it's because he's proud. Maybe it's because he is just super confident. Who knows what? Personally, I think it's a lack of maturity that he shares this dream with his brothers. And the meaning is quite obvious. And they're shocked and they say, look, are you serious? Are you serious? Are you telling us that we are going to bow down to you, that we're going to kind of like worship you, that you're going to lead us and our little brother? I think it shows more his lack of wisdom, his immaturity. He was 17 years old. It's important we remember that. You remember when you were 17? some of us, it's just like yesterday, isn't it? But he was 17 and he showed his lack of immaturity. You know, his lack of maturity. He was immature and he goes to his brothers. He's not aware of what this is going to do, or he doesn't appear to be. He's totally unaware of the reaction he's going to get. And it not happens not just once, it happens again. And he does exactly the same thing. He tells his father, and his father, at first, he rebukes him, but it's interesting, there's a big difference between his reaction and that of the brothers. He says his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Why? Because Jacob knew that God speaks through dreams. Jacob had experienced this himself. He knew it. He'd been there. So he was aware. In verse 12, we read, "Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, 'As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them.'" The brothers may have felt that Jacob, their father, didn't love them at all, and he wasn't interested in them. But actually, I think that verse there, those verses there, kind of give you a glimpse that Jacob is actually concerned for them, and he does love and care for them. Although there's pressures in the relationships. And he's concerned because the brothers have taken all the flocks and a number of the workers, they've gone to Shechem. The last time they were in Shechem, it was some pretty bad stuff happened. It's there that they slaughtered the Shechemites. And they were back in the same land. And Jacob is probably anxious, he's probably nervous, thinking if all the other surrounding tribes see my boys coming, they may think that they've come to attack them. Or they may think, actually, we need to attack them to protect ourselves. And he's worried and he's anxious. So he sends Joseph to them to make sure that they're okay. And Joseph's response is, yeah, sure, I'll go. I'm happy to go. And he goes. He's willing. And the journey is probably 50, 60 miles. And it takes a few days to get there walking. And when he gets there, they're not there. But he doesn't just give up and turn around. And someone says to him, "What are you looking for?" And he says, "I'm looking for my brothers." And they say, "Oh, you want to go on to Dothan, another good day's journey." So he does, and he goes. And when from a distance he sees the brothers, he probably gets really excited because he thinks, "I've found them. It's good. They're all okay. It's great. It's exciting. I'm going to get down there and spend some time with my bros." Verse 18 says, "But when they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. 'Here comes the dreamer,' they said to each other. 'Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams.' When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. 'Let's not take his life,' he said. 'Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him.' Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to the father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty and there was no water in it." So Joseph comes excited to see the brothers, but the moment that he gets there, they grab him and they beat him and they hurt him. And they strip him and they throw him into the pit. Can you imagine his shock? Can you imagine, you know, what's going on? What are you doing, bro? You know, I know I'm a bit of a pain sometimes, but, you know, what's going on? Then they sit down to eat. And as they're sitting down to eat, some Ishmaelites come along and they're on their way to Egypt to sell their goods. And they come up with another plan, and say, instead of just leaving him here to die, let's sell him, and we'll get some money for it. And then we'll devise this plan where, you know, we can take his robe, we can put goat's blood on it, and we can take it back to the father, all ripped and torn, and say, he must have been eaten by a wild animal. And they planned all this. That is what you call a dysfunctional family, isn't it? There's some big issues going on. So far, when you're looking at this story, where do you see God in this? Where do you see Jesus in this? Well, you see the love that the Father actually has for his children. The relationships may be stretched, but he has a love for them. And he sends his own favored son, he sends his own beloved son to seek them out. You see that in the big gospel story, don't you? Where God the Father sees that we need rescuing. And he sends his beloved son, Jesus, to the earth to seek and to save the lost. But when the beloved son gets to see the brothers, they reject him. They beat him, they mock him, they strip him naked, they throw him into a pit, and then they sell him for 20 shekels. When Jesus, the beloved son, comes to earth, he comes to his own, but it says that his own did not recognize him, his own rejected him, and they beat him, and they mocked him. They betrayed him, they sold him, they stripped him naked, and eventually they killed him. You can see the parallels already in the very first chapter. But where do you see yourself in the story? Maybe you see yourself in Joseph. Maybe you feel, actually, that God has given me a dream. Joseph must have felt totally confused. You know, God had given this amazing dream and that he was one day, he was going to rule, and it's all gone pear-shaped. He's found himself in a pit, and then his brothers hate him, and his brothers now sell him into slavery. And what's happening to the dream? Was it really God? And maybe you identify with that. Maybe you feel that God has given you a dream, that God has put things in your heart, he's shown you things, he's given you promises, and yet you're in a pit. Life hasn't quite worked out how you thought it would be. You're not exactly where you thought you would be. Things are not quite how it should happen. Maybe you're confused, like Joseph at this moment in time. But maybe like Joseph, it's not the end of the story. Maybe like Joseph, there's a number of chapters to come. Or maybe when you look at this story, you see yourself in the brothers. You see yourself in the brothers. You see yourself, you're struggling with relationships. You've got anger issues, you've got jealousy issues, you're envious. Why is it other people are doing better than you? Why is it that, you know, it's really tough, isn't it, when you see others who seem to just grow and progress and be more fruitful in life, where you're struggling, you're working really hard, and you just don't get the breaks, you don't get the opportunities, you're not born in the right family, you're not given the right opportunities or support that you need that everybody else gets, and it's just not fair, is it? And anger and resentment and jealousy and bitterness can well up within us. And before you know it, it turns into hatred and into violence, and it's so easy. You know, when you get to the New Testament, Jesus said, you know, you've heard it said, do not commit murder, but I tell you that if you are angry with your brother in your heart, you've already committed murder. You see, it's a slippery slope. If we don't deal with the disappointments, the anger, the resentment, the bitterness, the jealousy, the envy, it eats us up. And it can lead us in ways that we don't want to go. I wonder where you are in the story. Do you know, as a teenager, I was, you may struggle to believe this, but I was actually quite an angry boy. And I was actually quite a jealous boy. And I was angry and jealous for all kinds of things, but mainly because I felt that people had things I didn't have. and had opportunities that I didn't get. And in particular, one particular family. When I was 12, I met my father for the first time. And that was great. It was mixed emotions because it was kind of nervousness, but it was also really excitement. And it was great for a short while, but within 18 months or so, he had gone again. And within 2 years, he was married again to another family and had adopted other children. And I remember being angry. And I remember being jealous of these children. And I remember being robbed. But then I met Jesus. Then I met Jesus. And I met the Father. And he poured his love into my heart. And he poured his forgiveness. He set me free. And I know that I am loved. I know that I am loved. I'm loved by my Father. I may not have been loved by my earthly father, but I'm loved by my Father, my Heavenly Father. And I don't know what your background is. I don't know what your situations are. But do you know you're loved? I'm loved by the Father. You know, and the Father, he shouldn't have favorites, but you know, I'm his favorite. No. Seriously, I'm his favorite. He shouldn't have favorites, but I'm his favorite. That's how I feel. But do you know you're loved by the Father? You're loved by the Father, and he shouldn't have favorites, but you're his favorite. You're his favorite. You're his favorite. You see, we're loved by the Father. And we're held in his hands. And he has a plan, and he has a purpose for us. And he's put within us, and he wants to put within us dreams. He's got a plan and a purpose, and for many of us, it means going on this journey. And on this journey, there will be ups, and there will be downs, and there will be pain, and there will be highs, and there will be lows. But in order to see that dream become a destiny, in order to see that dream fulfilled, we have to go on this journey. You see, God is able, as Joseph was able to declare at the very end of this story, that what you meant for bad, God meant for good. See, he will fulfill his plans and his purposes. He will. And he will fulfill them in us and through us if we allow him to. But it starts, the journey starts when you know you're loved. You know you are loved. Why? Because then you have confidence to follow the dream and to trust in the one who gives you the dream, that he will fulfill it. Do you know you're loved? If you don't, then please don't leave it today without finding out how much he loves you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the stories that we read in your word. They're real people. And Lord, we thank you because they just help us so much to understand that you're so good and you're so loving and you're so gracious. And Lord, as we journey through this series on Joseph, I pray that you would encourage us, you would inspire us, you would challenge us, that we would see Jesus. But most of all, we'd see ourselves. And that we would grab hold of the things that you have for us. We'd grab hold of those dreams you have for us, and that we would run with them. And that we would allow you to work in us. Lord, we would allow you to change us and transform our characters. Lord, that you do what only you can do in us for your glory. And Lord, I pray, Father, that for each of us, that if we haven't even started this journey with you yet, Lord, I pray, Father, that today would be the day that we say yes to you, that we let go of all the hurts, all the past, and we say yes to you, Jesus, and we say, Lord, help us to walk with you. Help us to know that we're loved and we're precious, that we're called and you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. Lord, give us the faith and courage to trust in you. Father, for those who are here this morning and they're just struggling with, they've got anger, they've got bitterness, they've got resentment, they've got pain in their heart, they've got jealousy they're struggling with, I pray you'd set them free. I pray, Lord, that we'd be a people who rejoice when we see you blessing others. That we would be supportive, that we wouldn't be sitting there jealous or envious, that we would be supportive, cheering them on, knowing that you're behind it, knowing that you're blessing them and releasing them. And Lord, that that we would be those who rejoice with those who are doing well. And Father, that we'd be those who mourn with those who are mourning. Lord, just lead us forward, we pray. But more than anything, Father, may you just fill us with your amazing love. And this day, may you release fresh dreams to us in the coming days. Amen. Amen. Amen.
So thank you for being with us this morning. As you say, there'll be tea, coffee and cake out at the back. There's cards down here at the front for the BMS Action Team to sign, but just some words of blessing for us to close. May the God of might, of power, and of holiness watch over you and protect you. May he grant you his vision. May he strengthen and empower you. May he give you wisdom and understanding. May he rule in your heart and speak into your life. And may you leave here today knowing that he loves you and that he goes with you into the week ahead. Amen.